Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Why would a 67-year-old clean-cut pastor who planted and served at a church for nearly 40 years, growing to over 6,000, suddenly hand the reins over to a 36-year-old jazz musician with a beard and dreadlocks? Did I mention that after the transition, the church doubled in size? This is the story of Dr. Bill Ritchie, founding pastor of Crossroad Community Church, a story of Christ-led transformation. Well, we're talking about transformation here. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is just that, transformation through Christ. Through Christ, dear friend, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, the resurrected one who has touched the heart of Dr. Ritchie and many throughout the years, whom God has used to touch in his church, is here to reach you today with love and hope. Dr. Bill Ritchie founded Crossroads Community Church, Vancouver, Washington, 1975. He graduated from Willamette University. His degree was in psychology. He earned his doctorate in religion from the School of Theology at Claremont. He also studied in Switzerland. His radio ministry is on over 400 stations. He's authored 3 books. Dr. Ritchie's married to Betty over 53 years. They have 3 children. Dr. Ritchie, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Salem, Oregon. Lived there until I graduated from Willamette, and then never lived there again. My folks lived in the same house for over 50 years, so it was a rather stable upbringing.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
You mean after I came to the Lord?
Could be even before that.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest influences in my life, the pivotal influence in my life was actually a teacher, a journalism teacher. And she heard me one day. I was a feature editor of our newspaper, and I was a junior in high school and was junior class president and, you know, played football and had a band and all this stuff. And we had a very large high school, and she heard me arguing with a gal who had a particular religious persuasion that, let's just say, is very unorthodox, without getting into all that. And she said, wow, you know, you really are able to argue the position and all the rest, and I hear you kind of shredding her beliefs, but what do you believe? And I said, well, I have no idea. So she said, I did not grow up in a church-related home. It's not that they were against Jesus or anything else. It just was not a part of our life. And if you would have asked my dad, he would have said, you know, I'm an American, so of course I'm a Christian. That kind of thing. But at any rate, she said, well, would you like to know more about it? I said, sure. So she set me up with a Bible study with her pastor, and who happened to be a very conservative, incredibly strong preacher in a Methodist church. And so I went to this little Bible study with a few of my friends, and we went for 6 or 8 weeks, and it was fun, and that was the end of that. Summer came and got back into the same stuff that everybody else I ran around with did. That was before the days of drugs and all that, so we just drank. And And in my senior year, I came to a point where I was student body president and had a lot of amazing things going on. On the outside, I was doing really well, and I came to a crisis, what I considered to be a crisis in my own life, and didn't know who to talk to. And the only person I could think of was this pastor that the teacher had introduced me to. So I called him up and said, "Can we talk?" And he said, "Sure, come on over." So I drove over to the church, and that Monday afternoon, on my knees in his office, gave my heart to the Lord. And I knew the minute, as a 17-year-old kid with no background in the church, I knew that I would be a pastor. I knew that that's what God was calling me to do with my life. I probably couldn't even have spelled the word pastor at the time. So I just knew when I got up, that's what I was going to be, that's what I was going to do. And so that would have been in, let's say, November of that year. And so he, Joe, took me under his wing, and I probably preached my first sermon in his church in March as a 17-year-old kid. I can't even imagine, in retrospect, him having me do that. But I had spoken a lot of places even as a kid. So, I mean, it's funny when you think about how the Lord puts things together. We had over 2,000 kids in our high school, and it was just 3 years, so each class was very large. And as junior class president, it was my job to MC every assembly. So we would have back-to-back assemblies because our auditorium only held a little over 1,000. And so I had to do 2 assemblies every week. So already when I was a junior in high school, I was doing 2 services a week, right?
Very good.
Not as a Christian, not with any of that understanding, but God obviously was shaping my life. And so anyway, I came to the Lord and went to college with that in mind and just focused. That's what I was going to be. That's what I was going to do. And so I went through college with that in mind, as a very with a very conservative kind of faith, and turned about to be kind of a liberal environment. But I didn't know conservative liberal. I couldn't have told you any of that. I knew that I knew Jesus, and he loved me regardless of me, and that's all I knew, and that's all I needed to know. That was good enough for me. And so I then went from that to the doctoral program and went to Europe for a season and studied in Switzerland and Germany and in England, and then came back, finished my doctorate, my dissertation, and all that stuff, and served a Methodist church up in Bellingham, Washington. And then my second year there, I taught management and business ethics full-time at Western Washington State, and then continued to pastor the church that I had pastored for nothing. It was a little bitty church, and it drove me nuts being so small. And in that day, let's just say my denomination was not growing churches. It was closing churches down. So at any rate, when I took that job, the minute I moved my books into the office on the campus of Western, I felt like I had just stabbed God in the back. I knew he'd called me into ministry, and what in the world was I doing teaching? Well, it was through that year that I was pastoring a church bivocationally. Well, really, my income and all was derived from what I was doing in the university. But the Lord really spoke to me, and I moved into a dimension of faith that I had never, ever experienced, and it was astounding. And so I said, okay, I need to get back full-time into ministry, and I was appointed to another church, served that. And then I knew I was a fly in the ointment. I was going in one direction. The denomination was going in another direction. And without going into all the details, just because it's a story in and of itself, the Lord really called me out of that. Son of man, from the book of Ezekiel, son of man, you live in a rebellious house, who have eyes to see and see not, and ears to hear and hear not. You know, come out from that and establish your house in their sight, for you shall be a sign to the house of Israel. I said, oh my goodness, this is not my idea here. So anyway, I knew what I needed to do. I resigned what I was doing and ultimately founded Crossroads as an independent work. And the first day we started, church is a mega church at that point, would have had maybe 500 people. There was one church in the entire metro area of Portland that had 1,000 people. And that was just gargantuan. And so I started this church out of nothing. We met in a high school, and the first day we put a couple little ads in the paper, and the first day 350 people showed up. And I didn't know who they were. They didn't know who I was. I just said, hey, this new thing is happening. And then I thought, holy cow, what am I going to do with this? Because here they come in, and there are 350 of them, and they expect you to have everything going on, right? And I didn't even know what in the world I was doing, but God did. And so we were off and running 150 miles an hour with our hair on fire, and that would be how the rest of our ministry would be.
Wow.
Just listening to the Lord. People would come and say, how in the world are you building this church? And I would say, it is not my fault. You talk to God about this. This is not my deal. It's His. And I'm just trying to catch up. And I believe that's the case. When I see people systematizing everything, just do this and do that, and then voila, you'll have some huge church. Well, you might have a big organization, but who cares of that if it's not God's deal? And so from my perspective, I just wanted whatever the Lord wanted.
Yeah.
And so that's how we just kind of grew. We bought property. We built our first building at the height of the recession back in 1980. Nobody was building anything except us. And interest rates at that point got up to over 20%. Oh, it was just crazy. You're saying, are you sure about this, Lord? And we had 700 people meeting when we built our building. We moved into it on Easter of 1981, and the first service had 1,000, and we never looked back.
That is amazing.
It was just crazy. Yeah, I said the same thing. I said, what is this?
That is amazing.
Well, Dr. Ritchie, when we come back, I'd like to ask you, talk with you about a book you wrote in 1992, wondering about some points as the ministry has grown and has continued to grow and is growing this very day, a book about Dad.
Yeah.
A dad who loves you.
Yep.
You're listening to Dr. Bill Ritchie. He's a founding pastor of Crossroads Community Church. Phenomenal growth is something that he would say, hey, you got to talk to God about that. It's not a matter of systematizing or, mechanizing God's growth. Just a touch from him. Well, more from Dr. Bill Ritchie when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests. Well, today is one of those days indeed where we are privileged to have Dr. Bill Ritchie. Privileged to have someone of his stature, of his experience, his education, and the collective wisdom and insight of years of ministry. He's with us today. You can find out more about him, BillRitchie.org, BillRitchie.org. And if you're tuning in right now, or maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, hey, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. And download this podcast, and as we typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Danny Yamashiro here. Lani Ka'a, thanks for joining us. Pastor Bill, 1992, you write a book, A Dad Who Loves You. What's the premise of that book?
I wrote that book because it was out of the crucible of my own experience. In growing the church, at that point in time, things were changing so much in our society, and I found so many people in the church, in our church, we attracted non-churched people, and they were hurting people who came out of all kinds of backgrounds, and over and over and over and over again, I found that they were having a hard time understanding God as Father. In fact, it was almost a turnoff to them to think of God as Father. And I thought, what in the world is this about? So I put together a survey, gave it out to 1,000 people, and got all these surveys back. And I remember when I read on the first day, started reading through these responses, I just sat at my desk and wept. I could not believe what some people had been through with their dads, their earthly fathers. Horrible, horrible experiences. And so for them, they couldn't get past that. When they heard Father, it was a Pavlovian bell shock flex response. You know, Father is bad. I want nothing to do with this. And so it made it difficult for them to appreciate the reality of what a real dad is and what a real dad does. And of course, the template of that is God the Father. He is the perfect Father. And so I wanted people, instead of focusing on the bad dad, I wanted them to focus on the real dad. And understand this is the template to live life by. Here's what a real dad is, and here's what a real dad does. And it had everything to do with the biblical God the Father. And only I wrote it in a way that I hoped would be able to meet and minister to that person who was at that very difficult point of contention in their hearts. And so that was the reason for that book.
That's so important. And you know, when you talk about God the Father being the perfect Father, I think every father falls short of that. And so that's something we just sort of have to put out there first and foremost. But you know, when you read all of these difficulties that people have had with their fathers. What in the book, or what is your hope when they read the book, that they would be able to accomplish or change in their mindset that might allow them to walk better or differently with God the Father?
The hope would be that they would realize that their earthly dad, certainly he had his own story of difficulty. That's what shaped him to be what he was. But it was not a function of reality, of the way that dads are really meant to be. And so it's always the challenge of helping people to reprogram, to create new defaults with their lives. And that's not going to happen overnight. It's true in anything. You know, you grow up with folks who have a lousy marriage, and it's unless you get some good modeling from friends and so forth, you're going to have some struggles in your marriage. And it's just kind of a monkey see, monkey do operation. So I want to set new defaults.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my hope. And every one of those things is incremental, right? I mean, you just build in a little here, and you build in a little there, and you point in a direction. And in the end, it's all about intrinsic motivation. You've got to want to change. If you don't want to change, then it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't... there's a fascinating book out there, not a Christian book, but it's a fascinating book called Change or Die by Alan Deutschman. And the heart of that book is, how do you create sustainable change? And he finds that fact, fear, or force doesn't work, does not work. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I spent so much of my ministry trying to change people just by giving them the facts. You know, if you teach them, then they will know. No, they won't. And what he says is, the first key to sustainable change is relationship. Boy, oh boy, you think that's a God thing? It's all about relationship. And so you want relationship with the Heavenly Father, but that's going to happen through positive role models, relationships with people who, like the pastor who took me under his wing and helped me to begin to grow in my faith and make those transitions to understand, though maybe at that point I couldn't love myself, God loved me, and that's all that really mattered, and walked that out in my life. It's kind of like that book that Bob Goff has written recently called Everyone Always. You know, love people, just love them. Don't condemn them and judge them and all the rest of this stuff. Just love them like Jesus loved us. That's kind of his deal.
Dr. Ritchie, when did God begin to speak to you about the transitioning of leadership at the church?
Probably in my early 60s. He began working in my heart about some things, and I got to a point where I felt like, you know, the Bible tells us without vision the people perish, right? And I have always been a visionary. That's my life. For me, many times I've said across the years that the future is more present than the present. And the present is just gets in my way because I so desire to move into that future. It was Moses getting into the promised land, right? Everything else was just getting in the way. And but I had that feeling that, you know what, I've got vision for the next, let's say, 5 years, but I don't have vision for the next epoch. And that's not God's best for the church. And remember, go back to the beginning. Our church has always been about Him. It's not about me. It's not about any individual. It was always about God. And so I desired deeply that we keep moving forward and not just sort of slowly decline and this kind of thing. And if you look at the history of mega churches, especially those that have founding pastors who have been there a long time, it's really common when that pastor leaves for the church to crater. And the pastor will move and all this kind of stuff, and then they have all the infighting going on and blah, blah. And I said, you know, God brought this thing into existence, and He didn't create it to see it blow up because people are fighting. And so... As I began to pray about that, I said, you know what, we need to just start setting a transition in mind here, and talked with my executive team and our board about all this stuff that I was just kind of going through the process. And so I had some very clear-cut things in mind about who that next person would be. Not the name, not the individual, but qualities of a person. You know, he had to be us to the bone in terms of theology. He needed to be a thinker. He needed to be willing to live on the edge. He needed to be fresh. He needed to be the kind of guy who would speak to that next generation, just a number of very specific things. And in our movement, we were a part of the Calvary Chapel movement, and in our movement, there weren't a lot of those people there with all those qualifications. And I had a friend that I, again, a God thing. We were at a conference together, a pastor's conference, and before I went to that conference, I told the guys, you know, my prayer for this conference is that God will lead me to the guy. Went through the conference, and it didn't happen. And when I was the last day there, I was going by a coffee shop at the conference center, and this friend of mine, young guy, said, "Hey, Bill, you know, great to see you, blah, blah, blah. What's going on with you?" I said, "Oh, you really want to know? I'll tell you. This is what I think God's doing." He said, "Wow, that's radical," because nobody in our movement was doing that kind of thing. And yet all of us, like my peers, were getting older. And so we parted ways, and I left. And a couple days later, I was sitting in my office, and the phone rang, and it was him. And he said, "Hey, remember that conversation about transition?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "How would that work anyway?" I said, "Why, are you interested?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." And now you have to realize this guy had never pastored a church as big as our staff. We had 165 on staff, and he had never pastored a church that big. But he had pastored churches where angels feared to tread. He planted one. Oh, and that was one of my criteria too. He had to have planted a church, because I didn't want somebody to come in to pastor our church who didn't know what it was like to trust God for paper clips. That it would be too easy to come into an organization like ours, and you know, it's a huge amount of people and budget and all this kind of stuff, and think that's just kind of the way it works. Well, no, it's depending upon the Lord for everything. And so, at any rate, we started having that conversation, and I remember I was talking to a friend of mine in the movement. He said, "You're not going to bring that guy in." I said, "Yeah, actually, we are." He said, "You're nuts. You need to bring in a guy who's in his 50s, a guy who's a whole lot more like me." And I said, "Well, if we needed me, I guess I'd just stay there, wouldn't I?" And so against all their advice, but knowing that's what God, in fact, it was such a God thing, that when we brought Daniel, I mean, Daniel was before he came up to actually be on staff with us, we had an interview with him, with our whole board, and then it was time to sort of say, okay, is this the guy we really want? And I just felt led to say, "You know what, Daniel, why don't you just stay in here and listen to us talk about you? Are you open to that?" And he said, "Sure." So it was that open. Think about that.
Wow.
That transparent. And oh my goodness, we just knew this is what needed to happen. Now, to be fair, we really planned. We certainly didn't just kind of throw it up into the air. Yes, it was all God, and God led us to do some very specific planning. We communicated in every way and every style, whether in print or video or, I mean, every way imaginable. We did Survey Monkeys. We did all kinds of stuff. And we had some rocky points along the way that we knew would happen. And we had talked with each other and said, "You know what? We will have these seasons, but at the end of the day, we're just going to love each other and trust each other." And we did. We had some big differences, but we knew it was God's thing. And when I finished, just about exactly 6 years ago, it was like April something, 8th, 9th, 6th, whatever it was, I signed off everything. I was not in anything. I was just a person who would come to the church. And, you know, the next day he was the pastor and I wasn't, actually on Sunday. And that was weird, a transition. That's a whole other subject we should talk about sometime, seriously.
That would be part two of a program.
Well, it's really, really important because especially in the church, Danny, people don't get this. And I find pastors hanging on by their fingernails when they don't understand the next generation isn't where they are. I mean, I've talked to some people that you know, I'm certain, that everybody knows, evangelists and so forth, who are friends of mine. And I've said, you know, here I can think of two of those conversations I've had with two of those very well-known guys, said the same thing to both of them. What's up with you? You have these super hot musicians and all the late teens, early 20-somethings just really love these musicians, and then you roll out the old guy in spandex. What's that about? And
Lonnie's giving you the thumbs up. She's giving you the thumbs up, Bill.
That is so spot on. That is spot on.
Yeah, I say, what sense does that make? I said, plus, the truth of the matter is, we haven't saved our generation. Why don't you do those kinds of crusades for boomers and beyond? They would love a different style of music and the very kind of presentation you do, and nobody's doing that. Meanwhile, you've got to get people, you've got to move on, transition. And, you know, I feel like I'm spitting in the wind sometimes, like they really don't get that. But I look back and I look at our ministry right now, Daniel, who's just the greatest guy, who took my place. He does a two-minute message on Facebook every day and has 253,000 people that watch that. The church last year got 2.2 million unique web hits. Well, that wouldn't have happened if I'd still been pastoring that church. Let's just be honest about it. Because I wouldn't have gone there, and I wouldn't relate to all those people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when you come in and he walks out, you say, holy cow, what is this? I love it. And I sit in the back row saying, yay, God, just pour it on.
Wow.
And so we see week after week after week, three services on a Sunday morning, people getting saved. I mean, I'm talking two dozen at a time, and it's service after service. It's like the 70s Jesus movement.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, that was God's plan all along. And my prayer had always been, I've said this, I mean, I was on video numerous times saying this. My prayer is that whoever follows me will do far more than I have ever been able to do, and I will just thank the Lord that he allowed me the privilege of building a foundation. Wow, how great is that?
Well, Pastor Bill, you are an example. You're able to articulate it, not only articulate it with the eloquence of God's gift, but to challenge others who need to be challenged. There was a part, Lonnie, where I wonder how they responded, but perhaps that's for another time. When we come back from our break, more with Dr. Bill Ritchie. Pastor Daniel Fusco is the minister who took over. Yeah, dreadlocks, beard, and 2.5 million fresh hits. When we come back from our break, Discovery Channel, a feature on Discovery Channel that relates with Dr. Ritchie and his family. He'll share a little bit more about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, life is full of transitions. People transition, well, some people transition better than others. Some people transition too soon. Some people transition, well, they wait too long. Others have a sense, perhaps even God-led, to transition at the right time where there's a resonance and you begin to see fruit. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Program. Danny Yamashiro here, Lonnie Ka'a, my co-host, and Dr. Bill Ritchie, our guest. And I want to thank you for joining with us in this time. This is indeed a very special time because not everyone all the time have a chance to be with and hear from a person like Dr. Ritchie, but we do today. Find out more about him, BillRitchie.org. Again, BillRitchie.org. And if you want to get this program, just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get it as a free podcast, a gift to you. Bill, your family, your children, Jason, your daughter, Lisa, Jeffrey. Tell us about your children, and let's go further, maybe talk about the Discovery Channel.
Sure. I've got three kids. When our son, Jason, was 20 months old, we had twins, so we had three kids under two. That's a menagerie. And one of the twins had a very challenging physical condition, Port Weinstein birthmark that covered half his head, and he had had his first surgery for glaucoma when he was 3 months old, and so he would then end up having it's a Port Weinstein is just it looks like your half your face in his case is red, but as a matter of fact, your skin, as it turns out, is clear, and what you're seeing through it are the blood vessels and all that kind of thing. And in his case, in one side, as the plastic surgeon told us, everybody has on-off switches in their blood vessels. And so if you go out in the cold and come in, suddenly, boof, your face gets real red because it gets warm. It's warming up, releasing blood flow. Well, in Jeff's case, he has no on-off switch in those areas. It's just on. And so it would grow across the years and so forth. But that's another discussion. I'll come back to that. And so Jason, our firstborn, is an incredibly talented musician, unbelievably talented. He started piano lessons when he was four, and we started lessons because he was already going into the piano, and he would listen to somebody singing on the radio. Like in those days, there was a Christian singer who was very well known named Evie. And
Evie Tornquist.
Yeah, exactly. We'd have her
come on, ring those bells.
And suddenly he'd be in the other room playing her song, picking out the tune. And we thought, good grief, at 4 years old, how do you do that?
Wow.
And so we started him on lessons, and he studied with some really great people, classical and jazz. And he turned out he has absolute pitch, and so he doesn't. I mean, he knows. I asked him one day, Jason, how does that work for you? And he said, you know what? I hear notes just like you see colors. If you see red. It's not blue. It's not yellow. It's red. So if I hear a note, it's a D. It's not a G. It's not an F. It's a D. That's just what it is. And okay. So he was the Washington State Jazz Keyboard Player of the Year when he was a senior in high school and got a full ride to the University of North Texas. Played in lab bands there, which is an incredibly good jazz school. and ultimately came back and went to University of Washington and graduated from there. And his son now is just graduating from North Texas, Micah, and also had a full ride in jazz as a drummer. And he just got notification that he has a master's teaching assistantship at University of Washington, just the neatest kid you could ever meet. And so Jason would ultimately become our worship leader when he was a young guy, 22, and he's been at the church ever since. He's Daniel's XP, executive pastor of everything creative that they do. He's the one who makes all that web stuff and Facebook and everything else happen. And then Lisa is married to a physician, and she's a whirling dervish with her kids and just all the stuff that she's invested in her life. And he's a family doc here in town. If I had to write a job description for a son-in-law, it wouldn't be as good as he is. Jason's wife is an attorney, an estate attorney here in town. And she, another story, her dad was an attorney who died of a heart-related thing in his 40s. And so her senior year in high school. And she became an attorney relatively recently by reading for the law, and did not go to law school, and passed the bar in the top 3% in the United States. So, amazing lady. She is just fabulous. And they have three kids, and Lisa has two. And then there's Jeff. And Jeff was, God was really working on me as Jeff's birthmark just got, it would be like if he gets a pimple, that thing, if left unchecked, could become the size of a golf ball in a matter of months, literally, off his face. And so I was saying to Betty, we've got to find something to be done. We tried at Oregon Health Sciences. We tried every place we knew, and nobody seemed to be able to do anything. And I said, God, you know, help. You've just got to help us here. And out of nowhere, one day, just poking around on the web, I became aware of this guy who at the time was the best in the world. And he happened to be an Orthodox Jew from South Africa operating in Little Rock, Arkansas. Figure that out. And so I contacted him and said, is there any way anything could be done? He said, absolutely, bring your son here. And so, long story short, he had surgery there, and they ended up connecting us with the Discovery Channel, because the Discovery Channel had asked them if they would ever allow them to follow the surgery on somebody. And so they ended up following five surgeries on Jeff's face and did a 3-hour special on him, and five laser surgeries that are pretty... I mean, one of them, they had to just do laser work on his windpipe because the birthmark was closing his esophagus, his whole windpipe. And Milton, Dr. Wehner, just an incredible guy. And I said to him one time, Milton, you know, one of the things that has always amazed me about Jewish people is you're just so brilliant. And when I think of Jonas Salk and all the people across the years, why do you think that is? And he said, oh, it's the law. I said, the law? What? And he said, well, you have to understand, when you're growing up in yeshiva and so forth, what do? You are debating all the time. And, well, this rabbi said this, and this one said that. And you're sharpening your logical mind so that by the time you finish, it's razor sharp, and you can just apply that logic to anything. I thought, wow, that is good. And he was and is amazing. He's in Manhattan. He moved to Manhattan. So we did the first couple of surgeries in Little Rock, and the others we did in Manhattan. But it was quite an incredible thing, incredible time. And Jeff lives with us. He's, you know, disabled, but we have an apartment here at the end of the hall, and he's just doing great. Great guy. And so that's life. It, you know, it's funny to me, people say, people talk about their struggles and so forth, and I always think of my own dad. I remember saying to him one time, why don't you ever talk about your aches and pains and all that, because I know you have them. And he said, Bill, everybody has them, so why should I add mine to theirs? I have never forgotten that, because I thought, wow, you know, that is so true. Everybody has journeys. They're going through everybody. And people often think that, oh, wow, you're a pastor. You just live a charmed life. Well, if charmed is you need to be around your home 24/7, 365, then I guess that's right. You know, we will never know what it means to be an empty nester. Never have been. And so do you sit around and sulk about that, or do you thank God for the incredible things that he has taught you through the experience that you can then pass on to other people in the process? I know that had we not had the challenges that we have, I would never have been able to relate to people going through those challenges. Because the fact is, I'm a can-do kind of guy. I'm going to find out a way to get her done. Well, I couldn't do that. In Jeff's case, I couldn't change that. I couldn't fix that, right? That had to be totally the Lord, and I just had to be dependent upon him. And it's, in the end, it's all about God, just like the church. It's all about God. There is nothing else. So that's that story.
You're listening to Dr. Bill Ritchie sharing. Dr. Ritchie, thank you to share and to go into that depth and that description, and the way that you've applied it is just there's a depth to it, because it came just really out of your life, really out of your gut. So thank you for sharing that. When we come back from our break, in our final segment with Dr. Bill Ritchie, the founding pastor of Crossroads Community Church, well, transitions, that's sort of an underlying theme that we have here. Well, transitioning, he did write a book, Satisfaction Guaranteed. That was in 2006. I do wonder, as we speak, how has Dr. Ritchie found that to be true in the second half of his life? He'll share about that when we come back. We've talked about difficult times, challenges. Perhaps Dr. Ritchie will even spend a few moments praying for you and some of the challenges that you might be facing today. Stay with us. We'll be back for our final segment with Dr. Bill Ritchie.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
With us today, and I'm grateful that we have him with us, and we have you with us, because we believe that the Lord brought us together, yes, you, for such a time as this. And that there's a word, a message that the Lord has for you today. You can find out more about Dr. Richie, BillRichie.org, and this program, TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Satisfaction Guaranteed, Dr. Richie, 2006, your book. Well, how have you found that to be true, considering the premise? You might share a little bit with us on that, but in this, the second half of your life.
How is satisfaction guaranteed the second half? What I wrote that book about was, and why I called it what I called it, Satisfaction Guaranteed, is I think the Rolling Stones were right. It can't get no satisfaction. Yeah, I could try and I try and I try and I try, but most people are not satisfied. They just aren't. They're always looking for something. It's elusive. And of course, we know that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in the Lord. There is no other place to get ultimate satisfaction. And where you find that satisfaction is as you live out the character of Christ, the character qualities of Jesus. The more you develop those qualities in your life, the more satisfaction you find, because you realize it's not in stuff, it's in humility, it's in forgiveness, it's in thankfulness, it's in contentment. You know, it's in all those qualities of life that the Lord has, and it's just resting in Him. And I would say in some ways that probably is as good a summary as I know of the way that I've tried to live my life and to have my contentment be in the Lord and in no other thing, because everything is going to change. People don't seem to get that. You know, they say there are only two things that are sure, that are givens, and that is death and taxes. No, actually, there are three. The third is change. Change is going to happen. It's happening. And, you know, we don't run in place. There's no such thing. Things are always changing. So you can either fight change or you can go with the flow. You can go with what the Lord has. I know so many Christians who wish the church was like it was in the 70s. I loved the church in the 70s. I loved the music of the 70s. Guess what? It's not the 70s anymore. So get with the program. God's doing a new thing. And celebrate the new thing that He's doing. That's where the fun is. So for me, I transitioned. It's so interesting. When I came out of ministry doing full-time, you know, as a pastor, I should say, that's one form of ministry, but no more, no less. And I always want people to understand that, too, that being a pastor is not somehow a different level. It's just a different calling. We're all called to do one thing or another, but it's the same ministry. And so when I was pastoring, especially as the church got larger, goodness, I didn't have time to spend with all the people inside our church on an ongoing basis, let alone people outside the church. And so when I finished pastoring, suddenly I was spending all my time with people outside the church, and I loved it. I just loved it. You know, I became the chairman of the Commission on Aging for our county and worked to try to put together a homeless village and just a whole bunch of things. But I found that my heart was not being filled the way it was in ministry, because my mission is to encourage, inspire, and motivate people to become the very best version of themselves. And we know that is always as their heart is in the Lord and they are just walking with Him, whether they're plumbers or they are CEOs, it doesn't make any difference. And so I am doing that right now as I'm helping people with health, because if you don't have health, it makes it more challenging to do the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
And we live in a culture that is, I just look at our state, other states, they celebrate making marijuana legal when in fact we know that it destroys brains. Well, why would people celebrate that? Goodness. And so I want to do those things that build people up.
And would you mind then, I'm sure there are listeners out there, would you mind praying for those that are in that space? Thanks.
Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you for the fact that you built us in a very particular way. And that, Lord, I've always loved that thing that Ethel Waters said so beautifully, that you're a jewel, unique and priceless, a joy in someone's heart. I don't care how you feel about it. Believe it. God don't make no junk. And Lord, I know you don't make junk. You make beautiful, priceless jewels, people made in your image. They've covered that image up with a lot of stuff. And I'd pray that in the days ahead for each of them, they'll come to trust you to clean off the dross and to help that beautiful, beautiful vessel that is within emerge. For those who are facing change, Lord, and I know change happens in marriages, change happens in jobs, change happens in all kinds of things, and it's so easy for all of us to get caught up in the what if, what am I gonna, all that stuff, Lord, and I know that you want us just to rest in you. Yes, to do the work. Yes, to put one foot in front of the other and move forward. But at the same time, to rest in you, knowing that you've got our back, you've got our front, you've got the bottom and the top of our lives. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that we can just come to you as your kids. Come to you as knowing full well that we don't have the answers and you do. And thank you for the fact, Lord, that you will minister your love in your life, and you will lead as we trust in you. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Bill, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for the privilege of having me. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless you.
God bless. Encouraging words from Dr. Bill Ritchie, BillRitchie.org. My friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, we believe this is a perfect time for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation set up for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, make a financial donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Psalm 107, verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul fills with good things. Thank you to Dr. Bill Ritchie, BillRitchie.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a, techno producer Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, and guest coordinator Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.